We're going to be in John 3 today. So come on in and take a seat. And again, we'll be in John 3 today. Dave, Mr. Ackmoody there, would you like to open us in prayer? Amen. Amen. Okay, we'll be in John 3 again. And we will start in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So if every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And this morning we're going to be talking about being born again. The necessity of being born again, the nature of the new birth. And here Jesus clearly says, ye must be born again. You must be born again. And what Nicodemus is not realizing is every man needs to be born again. Everybody. And it's because of our sin nature. It's because of what we have. Right? For all have sinned. That is the problem. For all have sinned. No one seeks after God. No one is righteous. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. No matter what we do, we can't save ourselves. We have that saying, I'm glad I'm not who I used to be, but I'm not where I'm supposed to be yet, but that fact of that is that just tells you. See, there's nothing different between me being born again and a lost person, except I know where I'm going when I'm dying. I can be just as rotten as I was in my past. I have that choice. I still have that nature somewhere inside me that I can give into and choose to do that way. And Jesus is just saying, you got to be born, because that's all you have right now is that nature. That's all you have in you. And you need to be born again. You have a sin problem. And that's what salvation is really about. That's the born again. It's the salvation. It's getting eternal life. It's not getting the judgment. We're not under his wrath anymore. As children of God, which, praise the Lord, that's a good thing. It's about the forgiveness of sins. That is the whole problem of us. That's the whole problem with everybody out there. It's going to be our whole problem until the Lord comes and takes us home. And, boy, I usually don't watch the news, but I really have been watching it lately because I'm getting excited. I'm serious. I watch it, and I'm like, hey, it might be time. It might be time. It's awesome. It's like, hey, you know, you just see what's going on over there and, you know, in the Middle East and, you know, and then you find out Korea is going with Russia now, and it's like, oh, Lord, all right. Hey, we getting things moving? Because I'm kind of, you know, not that I hate this life, but I know the next one's a lot better. So I'm kind of in a little hurry to get there, just a little bit. But the whole thing about it is people have this whole concept of born again as they get it all mixed up. They have no idea what it means. And a lost person is not going to know what it means. I had no idea what it meant. I would hear people all the time talk about, hey, you got to be born again. You got to be born again. You got to be born again. Well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. Because somewhere deep inside, God has given that knowledge to everybody. They have. And the problem is people don't want to admit who Jesus really is, who he claimed to be. That comes a problem. Nobody has a problem saying he was a good man. Nobody has a problem saying he was a prophet. But when it comes to Son of God, that's where it starts getting confusing. Because then you either get people that don't want to admit that he's saying he's God, or they're just saying, well, everybody's a son of God, which is not the case. That's not the case. Until you're born again, you cannot. So what does it really mean? What do you really need to do to be born again? Believe on the name above every name. It's really that simple. And it's believing what he did for us on the cross. It's not believing he existed. It's not believing he was a good man. It's not believing he was a prophet. It's believing that there was a payment that had to be paid, and he paid it. And the only reason why it was good was because he is God. That's the only thing that is acceptable, was his payment, was how he did it. And a lot of people argue about that. Well, I don't get that. And again, I didn't get it. I had no idea what being born again was. I thought born again people were weirdos and nuts, and now I'm one. So it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's a good weird. You know? But yeah, you have no idea about it. You hear it's like, wow. I don't get this. The same problem that Nicodemus had. I don't understand this. I'm confused by this. What does that mean? And in truth and reality, honestly, there's really no way we can explain it to anybody. We can give them what the Bible says, and we can hope the Holy Spirit works in them and God works in them to show them. But if anybody's really come up with a good way to explain how they got born again, like how that and how it feels and what you know now and how truth changes and how you see the world and how you see your sin now. And again, and there's the problem, because we can be, it doesn't mean we're better than anybody. We can be just as wicked. We can be just as cruel. Now, I think if you're truly saved, I mean, that's going to be a problem for you. Because let's face it, there's just some sins that just, any sin, it eats you up, no matter what it is. You know, some stupid little lie that you just did because it was just one little thing that, and it's like, well, I didn't want to hurt their feelings, or I didn't want to do that. And you're, you know, but God doesn't see it that way. I mean, God doesn't want you to hurt their feelings, but it's A sin is a sin. A lie is a lie. And that's the whole problem. And we can't even get lost people to see that. The whole thing about a lie is an abomination to the Lord. A lie. And the worst part for Christians is we lie all the time, except we lie to ourselves. We try to justify everything, and we try to lie. But being born again, when you're born again, you get something very special that nobody ever has. And that's a testimony, and it's different for everybody. And the great thing about the testimony is you're the only one that can take it away. And when you're born again, you have that spirit, and you shouldn't want to lose that testimony. You shouldn't, because you are the only one that can take it away. And even if nobody finds out, you know that God knows. And if you do that, and you take that testimony, and you try to use that same testimony again that you've been using, and you know you failed and don't care about that anymore, you've already lost your testimony. God knows you lost it. But yet we lie to ourselves, and we don't realize that's an important part. That our sin, our forgiveness, it's a daily forgiveness after that new birth, because we mess up. We do. But God wants us, right? He wants everybody to be born again. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to us, Lord, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. All. And this new birth, people just like to take it and twist it, and you get all different kinds of weird doctrines out of it. You get all this kind of weird things, and I'll get into that in a little bit, but it really does. It complicates everything. When God's just saying, and he says it right here, you know, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Right? That's it. There's two. There's two births you can have, and the new birth is the most important. It's the most important you can do. So, I mean, I would like to think everybody in here is saved, but if you're not, I mean, that's the most important thing to do. And nobody can take that away, and it's nothing. It's you realizing who you are, who you truly are, and who God truly is, and going, oh, he did what? I mean, for me, that was the biggest click for my new birth is I understood Jesus growing up in a Catholic church, going to a Catholic school. I understood who God was. I understood who Jesus was. But that picture of this new birth was lost. They don't talk about the new birth. They don't talk about all these things. They don't talk about what Christ really did, what he accomplished. You will never, I could be wrong, I don't know. I haven't been in a Catholic church for over 12 years, so praise the Lord for that. But I don't know. But I never, ever heard them say anything or do anything about Christ saying, "It is finished," on that cross. Never. I wonder why. Because it won't get you to the new birth. If they mention that, you're going to that new birth now. You're going to be like, wait a minute, hang on. And for me, that was key. That was the light. It was like, whoa, wait, he paid that. Because somewhere deep inside, we do know that. And that's what brings everybody, that's what brought Nicodemus to this point. Because you get to that point where you go, something just ain't right. I keep doing this. Why am I doing this? And for the most part, we don't care. And we just go on until we do care. And God flicks that light on. It's like, because you're a sinner. Because something is wrong between our relationship. Something happened, and you chose to do this. But you have to see that as the whole picture. You have to see it as there was a price paid. And I never could do that. And, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit. I wept like a baby. I really did. when that light clicked on and I was like, he did what for me? And just the things that went through my head of who, of what I've been doing and where I was going, I was like, that's crazy. Like, why? Why am I so important to him? But it is. But, and that new birth is important. And like Nicodemus, that's what we have to ask. That's what we have to try to get across to a lost and dying world. Is this is where you're at. This is what he paid. And then again, therein lies the problem, because most people don't want to admit that they're wrong, that they're a sinner. I'm better than so-and-so. I'm better than, you know. You know, I mean, here's Nicodemus, and what is he? He's a Pharisee, correct? He's a Pharisee. So he's the righteous of the righteous, right? He's good. He's not worse than other people. And God's saying, you got to be born again. You have to be born again. You know, and it's funny because here he is talking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, and in Matthew, what's he say? He tells everybody, unless your righteousness exceeds theirs or a scribe's, you're not going. You're not going. You're not going to see. But then here he is with a Pharisee going, you ain't even good enough. You're not good enough. And we have to figure that, we have to figure that out. But it truly is. It's truly hard to explain the new birth to anybody. It just comes, and you just know. You just know. All those times. I mean, you could be as religious as you want, like Nicodemus. You could pray all you want, like Cornelius. You could do whatever you want. But once you truly get saved, once you experience that new birth, it switches. Something switches in you. You truly don't want to do that. You want to be pleasing to God. You want to know what's wrong with you. But as we go, and I think that's the problem with us Christians now, is we forget the importance of that new birth. We forget what that meant to us. And not only us, but to God himself. What that meant when we went and trusted Christ. So we have Nicodemus here, and he's like, I really can't comprehend this. I don't know what's going on. You know, am I supposed to go back, you know, to my mother? What, I don't understand this. This is too hard. And then what's he do? He flat out tells him, you know, what's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the spirit is spirit. And he's like, You know, and obviously Nicodemus had that real big problem with that, because it says, marvel not that I tell you, you must be born again. So I can just imagine what his face must have looked like, and him scratching his head, walking around going, like, you know, because he's like, marvel not. Come on, I'm trying to explain this to you. But that is the biggest thing, that new birth. And the new birth is not complicated. It doesn't come by works. It doesn't come by anything but Jesus Christ alone. And that is. You know, we have this, and that's what it's all about, that forgiveness of sin. Why? Because it's not about our outer selves. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I'm standing up here. I get the privilege and opportunities to preach Sunday school, to preach. And, you know, I got my suit on. I look mighty nice. That doesn't mean, you don't know how I'm living. Right. I would hope you think, you know, I'm living okay, at least, you know, trying to at least live by God's standards. But you don't. And that's the thing with sin. It's the outer that everybody's trying to clean up, saying, I'm not that bad, I'm not this, that. And God's saying, no, I need that inner. I need that inner. Because no matter what you do, that's what matters to me. Your heart matters to me. That's what he's always been looking. I mean, the references to the heart alone in the Bible, and looking about how people interacted and reacted to certain situations with God, it was all about their heart. And God always tried to grab their heart. And this new birth grabs your heart. It grabs your heart, and you go, okay, we just got to put two and two together to get to there. Over in Ephesians, Ephesians 2, Ephesians 2, it says, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I mean, that's really the best way to explain it. It's that conversation we had. You experience that new birth. It's that conversation you have with the old and the new, and you're sitting there talking to a God going, "That's I don't want that. I really don't want that. I'd like to be pleasing to you. I'd like to do something different." Now, what do we need? So what do we really need? Right? If we confess with our mouth, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I mean, these are things, but it's about that sin. It's about recognizing the sin. And what we get is so many different wrong doctrines about this new birth from here. Because they do. Because they hear this and they're born again. And then, you know, about the mother and all these things. And you get into water baptism, you get into lordship salvation, and that's what it is. And lordship salvation is the weirdest, because there's so many weird things about these different doctrines right? Because they'll forget about the new birth, and they kind of put in Jesus into there, but they put him at a standard that's just, you know, you can't sin. You have to live a perfect life. I mean, that's basically lordship salvation. You have to live a perfect life. And that's, that was, I'm not sure quite when it started, but it's a very old hyper-Calvinist doctrine. So basically, what they're saying is, if you don't tithe, if you're not here on a Wednesday night, if you struggle with addiction, if you struggle with problems, if you get a divorce, something happens in your life, then obviously you haven't put Jesus as Lord. He could be your Savior, but you're not saved because he's not your Lord. And that's basically what they do, because you haven't put your Lord over it. And there comes a problem with that. Well, I accepted him, saved, but no, you're lost. Why? Well, because he's not Lord at all. Well, because you're not living your life perfect. And let's face it, I haven't lived my life perfect since I've been saved. I've tried. I want to. I that's a goal I set to try to be, but it's really hard to obtain. And it's really, why? Because we walk in the flesh. You know, the one thing God gives us and warns us about is, you know, not to walk in the flesh. Don't walk by sight. Walk by faith. And what do? We go walking in the flesh anyways, because that's just who we are. That's that nature. That's that old birth that we had that came from our mothers, right? David said it, in iniquity I was born. You know, I mean, that's how I was born. I have this problem. I have this problem. Why? Because, I'm human. And, that's the crazy thing. You know, you got people out there, you got even Christians, it's still kind of not right because, you know, Adam and Eve messed up and not me. And it's like, no, you would have messed up. Are you messing up now? So why are you messing up now? You're going to blame it on them? No, you're still choosing it. If you're saved, you got that choice. But it's all about that new birth. How are we going to get there? What are we going to see? What are we going to obtain? How do we obtain it? Now, a lot of people want to put the emphasis on the new birth as in baptism. And that one is, oh, that one I find so strange. I mean, there's, you know, you got Catholics, you got Baptist briders, you got, I mean, you name it, somebody wants to baptize you. Somebody wants to baptize you, right? I mean, that's just, but that's not the baptism. That's not the birth he's talking about. It's like, oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. He's, right? And they'll always take you to like Acts 2, repent and be baptized to receive the Holy Ghost. And see, the problem with that is if that's what we need for the new birth, there's a problem with that. Because when Jesus was here on earth, who was the only one that was baptized that received the Holy Ghost? It was him. Father came down like a dove. But then people want to put in there, well, no, the apostles were baptized. That's why they were healing people and stuff like that. Oh, no, that's not what it says. It says, and he gave them power. But if you notice, that's really not in the same verses as baptism, the power he gives them. So where did it come from? It came from God. He did it. Right? And that's the funny thing, because you get into these people that want to argue about that. Well, the Bible says what it says. You're right. It says what it says. But what is the context of it? Where is this baptism leading to? Where is it coming from? And that's the thing. If it's all about baptism, then the Catholics are right. That's what I tell when people argue with me about baptism. I say the Catholics are right then. Well, how is that? Well, they baptize when they're babies. Shouldn't you be saved as soon as you can? If that's the important thing we're trying to get at, then if that is what saves, then do that then. Well, no. And then that's what always comes around. I was like, well, no, you can't do that. You know, you got to be old. Why do you have to be older? Now we're getting to the problem. Why do you have to be older? Because that's what they'll do. They'll be like, well, no, you can't do babies. You have to be old. Why? Well, because you got to understand. Why do you have to understand? What do I have to understand about anything if it's the baptism that saves me? All I have to understand is if I go in there and get wet and I come out, I'm saved. So why is this big doctrine sitting there and it's like, you got to? Because you want to feel special. Because you don't understand. Just like Nicodemus, you don't understand what he's trying to say. You understand? It's not about that. It's about your spirit. And God's not going to give you a spirit just because you get wet. If that was the case, then shouldn't he give it to the babies? Doesn't he love all kids? I mean, we see it over and time and time again. He loves children. Why wouldn't you want to give it to them? Right? And that's what's so strange, because that is kind of the attitude and doctrine that Baptist briders take. It's the same as the Catholics. Right? Because Catholics, you got to get baptized as you're little. Briders, you got to get baptized in my church. You got to get baptized by me. Why? Well, because, you know, well, we can trace our roots or this or that. Or, and what it comes down to is the new birth. Why it always gets confusing is because they can't understand there is a difference in the Bible between a local church and the body of Christ. And that's where it is. They want to combine stuff. They want to combine these things. And what all you're doing is confusing this new birth. You're confusing how it's supposed to work, how you're supposed to gain this. I mean, again, If you take the Baptist Briders, what is so different from them from Catholics? There's not. I came from the Catholic background. Why, you know, and that, and maybe that's what helped me when I first, because I didn't know what they were called, but I ran across a lot of them and I asked questions. It was like, oh yeah, those, and I'm like, I knew there wasn't something right, and that's just because of growing up in the Catholic Church. That you got to get through that, you got to do this, and you know, and I'm guilty. You know, I'm a. You can call me a rebaptizer because, you know, we had Jack baptized twice, you know, once in the Catholic Church, and then I got saved and went, oh, that was dumb. I'm like, what? Like, that did nothing for him. But that's how you think. It's like, that's going to do it. But it doesn't fill any void. It doesn't fill that inner man, that inner spirit, which God is trying to get at. He's trying to get at your spirit. He's trying to get at all these things. If you turn over to Galatians, Galatians 3, and here we'll get into a little bit about this whole baptism stuff about having to be, you know, part, you know, the new birth. But Galatians 3 and verse 22, and the Bible says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Now, these are passages that we use, but also they'll use to tell you that you need baptism. Because they say, see, you were baptized into Christ. It says nothing about water. It absolutely says nothing about water. And it's funny how they leave out the beginning passages about Scripture, and then they leave out the last. I mean, if you go into the last and it says, if you be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, how do you become Abraham's seed? What is Abraham the father of? Last time I checked, the Bible was clear about that. Abraham is the father of faith. Like, right? There's no hiding that in there. So if I'm Abraham's seed, then I'm there because of faith. The new birth has everything to do with faith and nothing with getting wet. But people will take that and try to twist it around and get it to say what they want it to say. Right? But isn't it funny? It's like you got to get baptized. And then you take that and it's like, okay, I'm baptized. And then now what? Well, now if you're in lordship salvation, that means absolutely nothing. Well, I believed. And then I believed I had to get baptized, but now I can't live a perfect life. So, boy, I guess, what? How do you live your life then? How do you live your life when you know you can't do it? You can't do it. I can't do it. I struggle every day. And every day I got to go to Him. And the days that are worse are the days that I don't go to Him. We're not under a schoolmaster anymore. And wouldn't that be a schoolmaster? Baptism? Having to get baptized? Having to worry about it? And then you say, if that's the case, then when? If I have to get baptized to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive the new birth, when? When is the good time that I'm supposed to do this? Nobody can answer that. You talk to them, nobody can answer it. Well, you should do it right away. Okay, well, you know, I mean, you want to play that game? I can answer. I ask questions like that too. Okay, what about people in the desert where there's no water? Or there's a water shortage. What do you do then? Well, apparently they just go to hell. How long are you supposed to wait? Right? I mean, because when we witness to people, sometimes we have to get a feel of how they are, and we go, hey, you know, well, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. What happens if something happens when you walk out the door? How come they don't say that? Well, you got to be baptized. Well, you better do it now, because what happens if you walk something out that door? If that's what it's truly about. If that's what it's truly about, then why don't we? Why isn't it? Because it's not. And they want to put pressure on you. They want to mess you all up so you cannot. Basically what they're doing is they're helping the devil. Because that's the devil's game. Get you to question your new birth. Get to question your faith. That's his game. And that's all it does. Right? Because if you think you got to work, live perfect, then what pressure does that put on you? A lot. Because you know you can't do it. Especially after being saved. You're like, I can't do it now. The standard's too high. I read the Bible. And if you have to get baptized, that's pressure. Because we don't see it. And God says, no, that's not the new birth I want. That new birth is I want that inner man. I want you to realize what you've done. I want you to realize all these things of the bad, the hurt, the things that you don't want to remember, the things that people will still bring up afterwards. Those things. Those are things I want you to remember. And remember that I don't care. I still want you. All you have to do is come to me. And I'll throw them behind me. And that's what matters. That's what matters. It doesn't matter if somebody else is going to bring it up. It doesn't matter if somebody, you fall short. It happens. Is that the plan he wants for us? No. But it's about admitting that. That's what it is. I'm not good enough, Lord. I can't stand up to your standards. And he says, that's okay. I'll give you a new birth. It's not going to make you live perfect, but it'll give you a choice now. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit to convict you, to teach you. And that's where it comes down to the new birth. That's what it's about, to have that. If you turn over to Acts, just one more thing about baptism, with another problem that people say with baptism. Acts 10. Acts 10 in verse 42 we will start. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Well, that sounds like something in Ephesians. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which had heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. and then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And there's your problem. Because baptism is supposed to give you the new birth. The new birth is receiving the Holy Spirit. And these men had it before they were baptized. These men were Gentiles. They weren't even Jews. And there's where this false doctrine comes in, where people want to confuse this new birth with baptism or making the Lord, you know, Lordship salvation with you can't be your Savior, you've got to be Lord over all. You have to live right, you have to do these, and that's where the problem comes in, because it's not. These people in the Bible did not live right. They didn't live right under the Ten Commandments. These people here were not baptized. But that's the key thing, because everybody wants to put signs and wonders and tongues into the new birth. And that's the problem, right? That is the problem. I speak in tongues. I have this gift. I have that gift. Oh, you don't have that? Oh. So you don't have the Holy Spirit? Right? Because isn't that what they say? That's a nice way of people trying to tell you that they don't think you're saved. Oh, you don't have the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues? I mean, honestly, that's a nice way of saying it. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're none of His. You are none of His. And they don't realize that you can grieve the Holy Spirit. They don't realize that you can make your own choices. Because that's what the new birth is about, to give you that choice. And God wants you to choose Him. He says, yeah, I'm going to save you, and you're going to worship me anyways. And I mean, that's a funny thing about the new birth. We get salvation, we get heaven for rest. But He still gives us a choice, yet we get to heaven and we don't have a choice, but yet we do. And the funny thing about it is we're not going to care. That's the problem. Because once we get there, we're going to have that mind and we're going to, oh, this is why. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, because you get people that say, oh, well, He's going to force you to worship Him for all of eternity. But even if you don't want to now and you're saved, you're going to want to when you get there. You're going to want to, and you will. There's no way around it. Our mind just can't understand that. But if you don't have that new birth, if you don't have that Holy Spirit, then what? I mean, and that's another thing they don't understand. I mean, you add baptism to the new birth, and now you got three things, right? He says, what's born of the flesh is flesh, what's born of the Spirit is spirit. So now you're adding another thing to it. With baptism. Because now it's, well, now you're born of flesh. Now you got to be born of water, and now you can be born of the Spirit. And it's like, wait, that's not it. You were born of water when you were born. But God is so good with this. I mean, the new birth is not complicated. It's not, and He does. And He gives us the simple answers. And the thing is people don't realize that the doctrines they teach about the new birth, that it's more than just accepting Christ, more than realizing who you are and what He did for you and what He did on the cross and that He rose again. What they do is they complicate that. And it hurts people more than they do. And what they do is when people read the Bible now they read the Bible with this, it contradicts itself. And the only reason why it contradicts itself is because they couldn't understand the new birth. I mean, if we think about it, a lot of this stuff has to do with salvation. This is where these doctrines come from. On a difference of salvation. even those who think it's only through Christ. Right? Because what does the new birth mean if you're not sealed until the day of redemption? What does the new birth mean? But then you got people that say, hey, we're going to go through, you know, part of tribulation, then get raptured out. Well, how am I sealed then? Because whether people realize it or not, you go through Revelation, and once that church, once John hears that come up hither and all the other stuff, everything has to go on choices and what you do. Everything. Yeah, but it's before God's wrath. Is it? Oh, it sounds pretty drastic to me. I don't... You know, but that has everything to do with the new birth. Everything. Because it's about the Holy Spirit. It's about receiving the Holy Spirit. How do you receive it? Are you going to receive it by water? Are you going to receive it by good works? Or is it by faith through grace? And that's what they don't understand. They believe somehow that this new birth is going to be wrapped around all these weird things, and that's going to make you a better person. And again, nothing. I could be just as rotten, and I have, as when I was lost, and as I'm sure as everybody has. I'm sure everybody's had that temper. But what the difference is that new birth has given us that Holy Spirit where we go, you know, I'm sorry. You know, and not that it's not important to apologize to other people when it is, but it's important to go to God first. That's the important part, because everything's against Him. That sin is against Him. That's why He has to give you the new birth. But yeah, he made us alive. He wakened our spirit so we could communicate in between. Jesus broke down that partition. He took away the veil. He ripped the veil down. We have access to all these things, and the way we get access is through the Holy Spirit that God has left us through the Comforter. But you cannot get that without a new birth. You cannot get that without saying, I have sinned against a holy God, and I'm guilty, and I have no idea how I'm going to pay this fine. And Jesus says, I have paid it. It is finished. You have nothing to worry about. You come to me, I will give you a new heart, I will give you the Holy Spirit, and now you can experience this new birth where you don't have to listen to the old man. It's not that it's not going to be a struggle. It's not that it's not going to be way difficult at times, and you're not going to understand everything. But He gives you that new birth. He gives you that comforter so you can experience the joy and not happiness. So you have joy in these things and say it's okay. Everything's going to work for Him. It's going to work out okay because He's in control. Father, I just thank You, Lord, for this morning. I just pray this was a blessing, Lord. I pray that You're with the morning message, Lord, and just work in people's hearts and minds this morning, Lord. Help us to just learn how to apply everything to our lives. Without application, it means nothing, Lord. And we're just so thankful, Lord, that You would want to deal with us, Lord, that You would want to know us. That You would want us to know You. We're so thankful for Your salvation, Lord, and we're just, I'm hoping we're all excited, Lord, and just waiting on Your return. We just ask You to come back soon and get us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.